Hour number three, B. Mitch and Finley. Toby Altizer in for J.P. Finley today alongside Brian Mitchell. It's time to get out to our guest hotline and bring in our guy from the Commanders, Brian Colbert Jr. What's going on,
BC?
Dude?
Hey, good to be on. Y'all are here jamming, too. I like the tune.
Hey, man, that's all landfill. We don't have nothing to do with that.
I love it. Thank you guys for having me on.
How big is your coat today? Because I know you, California dude, all cold and stuff.
It's nice and thick, man. I got me a nice little coat with the inside, like you had on, B, you know, the little fur on the inside. Uh-huh. I'm ready, man. I'm nice and warm.
All right. Before we start getting to the game coming up this weekend, let people know, like, all the different things you're doing and where they can find you at doing your stuff with the Commanders.
For sure, for sure. So I am the official talent of the Washington Commanders. So I host our flagship show, Command Center, which comes out every Thursday and also comes out on WSA 9 on Saturday night. I do Next Man Up, which is my podcast, where we sit and talk to legends and also current players and just chop it up about life. B. Mitch has been on it as well. Make sure you check that out on the Commanders YouTube page. It was a really, really great conversation with B. Mitch, and it showed a lot of things that I don't think a lot of people get to see every day while you're doing sports stuff. We do pre- and post-game live on game days. Me, B. Mitch, and Santana Moss, we are on the ground, on the road, and then we are in the arena when we're home, and we're just giving you all kind of insight and analysis, player sound, coach sound, all of those different things. And, yeah, man, we do a lot of fun stuff here at the Commanders, just making content for the best fans in the NFL.
I saw you were talking to Revo and Pierre Garçon recently. What was that conversation like? And I guess you were talking about some of the rivalries in the NFC East. What was that conversation like with those guys?
Well, for sure. So, like, when you have, like, a legend like Garçon who's played in those games, it's great to hear, like, you know, what it was like and hear, like, the difference. And not much has changed, right? They hated the Eagles then. We hate them now. Same with Dallas, right? That rivalry is nice and true. But with Revo, I really liked the part of our conversation where we talked about the OGs, guys like Brian Mitchell, guys like London Fletcher, guys like Santana Moss, who have stayed close, even though they're not from here. They have stayed close to the city, stayed close to the team, and offer mentorship, offer love. And Revo was just mentioning how much it means to the players to have OGs like B. Mitch be there to shake, dap them up, show them love, and celebrate them for everything they've done. Because, of course, these current players have a ton of respect for guys like B. Mitch and Santana, who have, you know, given so much to this game. So, like, that was a conversation I really appreciated, that, like, not only does he recognize the love he's getting from the OGs, but he also wanted to give the OGs love back. And I know that means a lot to the OGs, too.
Oh, it definitely does. Definitely does. But, Brian, you are not from this area. Are
no,
you
sir.
Catching on to this rivalry thing where we do not like the people in blue and silver? And our buddy JP's not here today, but seems to wear blue and silver every weekend. And we're trying to wonder if he's trying to secretly tell us something or what. But we don't like the Cowboys. Are you catching on to that?
Oh, man, I'm definitely catching on. So even though I'm not from here, a lot of my dad's side of the family is from this area. So I'm very, very familiar. And then, you know, in my past working, like, you know, I worked Monday Night Football for years, Gruden Show. I've worked in football for so long, I have gotten to see a lot of these rivalries up close and personal. And I moved here from Texas, actually. So I've gotten to see both sides of that coin. And I know that, you know, the passion is deep. What surprised me, and B, maybe you could talk to this being here so long. What surprised me is when I got to a home game and we were playing the Cowboys and there were so many Cowboys fans. That actually really surprised me. I didn't think there'd be that many Cowboys fans in the DMV.
Well, it's a historical aspect to that. We'll sit down and have that conversation when we meet each other. I'll explain that to you. But I think right now, today, some of them just do it just to be asses. That's what I think.
I'm just telling you the truth.
You know, like their mom and dad liked the team back in the day, and then they just changed it. Oh, I got to go against them. You know how people just want to be rebellious?
Yep, they sure do.
This year we've been having a lot of good things going on with the team, and over the last 2 weeks we've had two losses. I think in the Steelers game, could have easily won that game. The Eagles game got away from us. What do you think were the problems for them to end up losing those two games?
I think it's tough, man. I think, you know, you look at how banged up it gets. Like, you know, this season is a long season. We have one of the latest bye weeks in the NFL, and I think it's starting to show, like, just, you know what I'm saying, you just get banged up, man. You know, you're going up against a really, really tough, two really, really tough defenses, two really, really tough teams. And to me, it's just, it's part of the game, right? I mean, you know, any given Sunday. And, you know, I don't think I've seen anything that would cause concern. I don't think fans should be concerned or worried. I mean, I think the Commanders sit at a spot that is amazing. I think fans should be very, very happy. New coaching staff, basically a new roster, brand new quarterback, rookie quarterback, all these things. And not to mention, I mean, we were down without our number one running back for some time. That matters. Like, that matters in a team. That matters with scheme. So I think you do have all these things, and it's almost like the perfect storm. But I think that we see them bounce back in a really major way. We get 10 days off, which is huge. B-Mitch, you talked about it on our post-game show, how big getting this time is to just lick those wounds, heal, and get back to the drawing board. So I don't think it's like one thing that was wrong. I really think, you know, it's just part of that season where we had a really tough stretch. But now we have a couple games coming up that are very winnable, and I see us, you know, going back to that dominance we saw early in the season.
Talking to Brian Colbert Jr. from the Commanders. So, you know, we mentioned those back-to-back losses, and it really feels like this is the biggest adversity that this team has faced this year.
For sure,
and after
for sure.
the game, all these guys talked about the brotherhood. You talked about it after the Johnny Newton. He talked about it after he jumped offside against Pittsburgh. Yep. You just hear all these guys talk about facing adversity and now the brotherhood they have. Can you speak to that kind of just the locker room environment that those guys have and how you expect them to bounce back from these back-to-back losses?
To be honest, I don't know if it's like anything I've ever seen. I don't know if I've ever seen a new coaching staff come in and win a team of guys, especially a lot of guys that are on one-year deals, by the way, come in and just win these guys over. I don't know if I've ever seen a locker room like that. I remember Dan Quinn coming in before like a lot of moves were made, and we had just hired him. And he said, I want to bring guys, and I want to bring guys with that dog-ass mentality. And I think that he has shown that, and it has been proof, right? I think a lot of fans are like, dang, is this real? Is this brotherhood real? What are they going to do when we see adversity? Well, now we're seeing that adversity. And if anything, the brotherhood has gotten stronger. The way these guys show up for each other, it's not, you know, you're not getting those sound bites in the locker room where guys are tearing each other down or tearing the coach. You're not getting any of that. You have guys that are just even hungrier than ever. And I think facing that adversity right now is going to pay huge dividends when we start making that playoff push and getting towards the back end of this season, because it's all good. It's easy to smile and be happy when you win it and things are going great. But how do you react when things aren't going so great? And it has been nothing but great things, nothing but great sound bites from these guys, and a lot of love and support for their coach and also their rookie quarterback.
You say you knew about this area. Your dad's family lived here. But coming here and experiencing the passion that this fan base hold, could you ever expected it to be that strong?
Not at all. You know, I've worked for some franchises with pretty strong fan bases, but this fan base right here, because I got to see two sides of it, right? I got to see last season where it was a really, really long, rough, rough season.
Mm-hmm.
But the fans were still there. The fans showed love. Granted, they weren't very positive, right? They weren't very happy. They didn't have any reason to be happy, but the fans were still there. Then you go into this season, and you just feel that rejuvenation, man. Fans that have watched their team lose for so many years, now they're finally starting to experience that greatness that they heard their parents talk about, that they heard their uncle talk about, even their grandparents talk about. And no, B-Mitch, I have not seen anything like this fan base. I mean, we saw it in Arizona. In Arizona, man, that is the West Coast dang near. And we filled that place up with burgundy and gold. And that has been the norm for every place we've been to on the road. I never thought I'd see a fan base, because, like, I grew up in the Bay, right? I grew up a Raiders fan. So, you know, the Black Hole, that's a different level of fan base, right?
Yeah, they're crazy.
I don't think I'd ever.
they all need to be, need to be drug tested.
They're crazy, right? But I also think that's very similar to that here with the Commanders fan base. Not so much as crazy, but just that love and passion. No matter who our quarterback is, no matter how many times we lose, we are going to show up for this team. And that's how this fan base is, man. And to me, they're the best fan base in the NFL by far.
Well, and Brian, one thing that you've noticed that's different is last year I was there week three against the Bills and Commanders lost. And it felt like 90% Bills fans. This year I'm here against the Browns, and that's a totally different environment. The fan base is rejuvenated. They're showing up to the stadium. Mm-hmm. It feels like the only time that they haven't had a real home field advantage this year was against Pittsburgh. You got Dallas coming to town. You mentioned from before when you came out you were surprised by how many Dallas fans were out at the stadium. Do you expect it to be a pro-Washington crowd this time? And, you know, it feels like this is a real chance for, you know, the environment at Northwest Stadium to be awesome once again.
Well, one thing we know about Cowboy fans, as loud and delusional as they are, They tuck their tails as soon as the season is over, and they are feeling like the season's over. So, honestly, I do not expect to see too many Dallas fans out there. Man, they're not going to want to come out in that cold and watch their team get beat down. I just don't see it happening. But in all honesty, man, I really truly think it's different now. I mean, a lot of people made a lot of, like, the amount of Pittsburgh fans that came. But to me, it was still heavy burgundy and gold. To me, we still were the majority in that building. And it still sounded as such, you know, when we would make plays. I think the same thing happens, man. I think the tides have turned. My barber's a Dallas fan. And he don't even want to go to the game. I'm like, hey, man, you know, I might get some ticket ball. He's like, no, I'm good, man. I'm good, man. The season's over. Like, and I think that is how Dallas fans are going to be. They're not like Philly where, like, they're going to stick with their team. I think Dallas fans turn their back on their team pretty quick. It's NBA season for Dallas fans now.
Yeah.
Maybe that's our chance for Luka.
Absolutely.
That's it. They just want Luka and Kyrie now. That's all they can hope for.
One thing, too, that I think is cool, talking with Brian Colbert Jr. from the Commanders, one thing that I think is cool is this team for the longest time has gotten, you know, a pessimistic view from fans, a skeptical view from fans. Mm. And I just speak for my own self here, growing up a fan of this team, I feel differently. Like, I give them the benefit of the doubt. You know, normally this is a game against a Dallas team that is worse than you. They're starting a backup quarterback. They're coming in. The season's over. Normally there's still, like, a little bit of fear, like, oh, no, they're not going to show up this Sunday, because they'd had that happen so often. Mm-hmm. This new regime, the new quarterback, just so much new, it feels different now. And I'm curious how you feel about that around the team from last year to this year, and curious as well what you feel like the fan base, because it feels like to me people are starting to come back and they have confidence in their team that they haven't had in years.
I think that happens when, you know, from the top down, everything looks right. Like, it's not just that you have, you know, the rookie of the year in Jaden Daniels, that you have this best quarterback. It's not just that. It's that you have a coaching staff with coordinators, assistant coaches down the line that all are bought in and all know this game, and we believe in them. Then you have ownership that's at every game. Adam Peters in this building morning to night, all day long. He's dived into the fan base. He's part of the community. All of these things, you don't normally see a team get it right from top to bottom, all the way from the top, all the way down to the training staff, even down to us, the media people. Like, everybody is locked in, working together and doing the right things. I think that fans see that, right? And fans could see it on the opposite side. Fans could see through it if it was all fake and it wasn't real. But what we're seeing now is real, and it's sustainable, which I think allows fans to be excited. So even if you have back-to-back losses, right, you're like, it's okay, because we know that we're going to bounce back. It's not that, oh, if we bounce back. We know we're going to bounce back, because all of these things are in the building that equals a successful team. B-Mitch has seen it. B-Mitch has gone to the promised land. He's won the Super Bowl, and I'm sure he'll tell you, and he probably has told you, it has to be from the top. Everybody in the building has to be working for this thing to work out, and that's what fans are seeing now, and I think that's where you get that buy-in, because it comes directly from the top all the way down.
I think part of it is, right now, in the way the new ownership has worked this thing, where you got old fans and new fans, they're bridging the gap by having some older players come back.
Yeah.
Having a younger player hang around. Yeah. Unlike the previous regime where they only wanted certain people around.
No, I mean, that's true as well. Because, I mean, you can even see it from the legends. Like, they'll say it. They are so happy to be back. They're so happy to be around. And not only be back, but be leaned on. Doug Williams is able to mentor a guy like Jaden Daniels. He's able to be in a position where he's able to pass the torch. You know, like, a lot of that wasn't going on. And now I think that, like, again, even like I said, top to bottom, even the legends, the old people are coming in and they're making an impact.
Hold on, man. Don't go that far. Old people. What the hell are you talking about?
I know
you're a little whippersnapper. How old are you? Be 30, what, two?
32. Just 32.
Yeah. You're a young buck. I'm talking about the old people. What the hell?
I mean, no disrespect, man, but I'll tell you what, the OGs is what I'll call them, the OGs coming in here and being able to be involved with these guys like Mike Sandersill, called Fred Smoot up, you know, Bobby Wagner's had multiple conversations with London Fletcher, Brian Mitchell is very involved, and we talked about Revo and a lot of these guys on that special teams. You know, you could call Tress Wade right now and have a conversation with him. To me, that is so special, because I don't think any other franchise has it like the way we have it.
Well, and I think, too, you mentioned bringing back the quote-unquote old people. I'm not going to say it. I'm just saying what you were saying.
See, he's still in his 20s. He's still in his 20s. He can say it.
But, I mean, even talking about bringing back former players, you're bringing back former fans as well. I can. Yeah. My uncle's a diehard fan, lives down in the heart of right just a mile and a half from the Dallas Cowboys practice facility. The last time he bought a jersey was RG3. He bought a black Jaden Daniels jersey to wear around Dallas now because he's excited about this team. So I just think you're seeing this whole fan base come back, and it's something that I haven't experienced in my lifetime, being only 26 years old, living in the area. It's just cool to see this fan base that I've heard so much about this being a football town. Everybody cares about the burgundy and gold, and I didn't really see it growing up. Now I'm seeing it.
No, I mean, it's awesome to see because, of course, I come in here last season and I see something completely different. You know, I see something completely different. I'm like, oh, my gosh, like, what is this? But I'm around Santana Moss. I'm around Brian Mitchell. I'm around Logan Paulson and Fred Smoot, these guys that are talking about the glory days and talking about what we need to do to get back. So it's been great to be a part of this season, be able to see everything happen. And let me tell you, like, there's been times when I've stood on that field and be like, I feel like we're experiencing something magical. Mm-hmm. This is before the Jaden Daniels Hail Mary. Before, I just feel like we are experiencing something special. And, man, it's so great to just be a small part of it, man. I'm truly blessed.
Brian, what do you expect Sunday? What's your prediction, or what are you expecting out of the crowd, and what do you expect out of the game on Sunday?
I expect, well, one, the crowd, man, I expect the Commanders fan base to do what they have done all season, show up and show out for their Commanders. I feel like it's going to be packed with burgundy and gold in Northwest, man. I have no doubt about it. And then on the game, I feel like we're going to get back to what we do, winning the game, running the ball well and efficiently, Jaden Daniels looking like the next star of this league. I think we have a major bounce back, and I think you see what this team can do with a little bit of time. And you got to remember, we were on the road for two straight weeks not too long ago. Like, this has been a very, very long season. Guys are banged up, but I think we see what we've seen most of the season: dominance, strong play, crafty offensive play calling, and all those things that we're used to seeing from this Commanders team. And I expect a nice big win against those Dallas Cowboys, for sure.
Hey, B, you got me about to play again, man. I'm over here about to get hyped up. What the hell?
You know, that's how we get it. I'm in my game day bag right now. You know, that's our job to, you know, set the scene and set the tone. But I'm telling you, like, you know, I'm sure you guys feel, you know, if I was BSing y'all, y'all would feel it. But I think all three of us know that's how we feel right now. And that's what we've seen from this team.
Yeah. Hey, let me tell you something, Brian. You know, you hung around Jeff that time. Jeff sat here, didn't even know who you were. See, Jeff meet everybody, but don't know nobody's name.
No, stop. Stop.
He was like, man, I'm stupid. I'm stupid. I'm not going to say the other word to
you.
He said, man, that's Brian that was in the suite with us. Bro, I didn't even know that.
Because we never call you by your full name.
That's
so he was like, Brian Clover. I'm like, oh, I'm thinking it's just some other analyst. And then I'm like, when I'm on the phone and I'm hearing you say, oh, thank you, bro. I'm like, I know this voice.
when I got on the phone and you were talking to me, I'm like, I don't think this brother recognizes who I am.
I didn't at all, bro.
Oh, way to go, Jeff. Way to go, Jeff.
That's Jeff.
All good.
He gives us one every week, every day.
Well, Jeff, now you know my government now. Now, hopefully, you know, I appreciate y'all having me on this platform. Now more people will understand who Brian Covert is, man. So I appreciate y'all having me.
All right, brother, but look forward to this weekend, man. Take care of yourself, bro.
I appreciate that. Y'all
I'll see you tomorrow. I'll see you tomorrow.
Yes, sir. I'll show you love tomorrow, brother. Y'all be good, man.
All right, be cool,
I appreciate it. There you heard from Brian Colbert Jr. He joined us
on
the guest hotline. Real quick, before we head to a break, there was some breaking news that we found out in the NFL. As if there wasn't already enough turmoil in New York for the New York Jets, they fired their GM today. Not Aaron Rodgers.
Hold on. So they fired Joe Douglas. And Aaron Rodgers and his Ponzi's are still there.
Yeah. Okay. Well, we already knew that Aaron Rodgers is GM.
Does nobody
head
not
coach
understand that the reason that they're losing is because of Aaron Rodgers and all of his stupidity? He has gone in and strained that team. We talked about brotherhood just now with Brian. There is no brotherhood
None.
Up there. There's Aaron Hood. That's it.
Let's take a break on that. You're listening to B. Mitch and Finley on The Fan.